All right, so today's daf is daf vav. We're actually going to begin on the bottom of Hey Amud Beis. So the Gemara says the following: Leman da Amar Aaron. It's three lines up from the bottom. Actually, we'll go two lines up from the bottom. Leman da Amar, two lines up. Leman da Amar Aaron ubanav bebasach. So also, if you remember, we ended off yesterday with a fundamental machlokes about the order of the dressing by the miluim. Was it done Aaron and his sons at one time, or was first Aaron dressed and then afterwards his sons dressed? So the Gemara says, "Leman do Amar Aaron ubanav bebasachos," and according to the opinion, it says that Aaron and his sons were both dressed at once, meaning they were dressed up in the Bigdei Kahuna at once. Haksev ay, it says, "Vayach gor oso ba'avnet." First, it says that what? That Aaron was literally yachgor. He was girded with his belt. V'hadar k'siv, and afterwards it says vayachgor osam avnet. And afterwards it says they were girded with their belts. So also again over here, it sounds like lemaisa. First it was Aaron, and then afterwards it was the children. V'hadar, so the Gemara says tap of vav amar lecha hahu avneto shel kohen gadol lo zehu avneto shel kohen hedyot. So also the Gemara answers that according to that man d'amar, the Torah is not coming along to teach you sequence. Rather, what is the Torah coming to teach you? The Torah is coming to teach you the fact that the avnet, the belt of the Kohen Gadol, was different than the belt of the regular Kohanim. How so? Well, let's take a look at Rashi. Amar lechu ha'hu avneto shel Kohen Gadol, lo zehu avneto, kilomar, the olam kra ditzava'a dafka bivas achos. So it could be that in reality, Aaron and his sons were both dressed at the same time. However, uba asiyah dipalginhu lelamdenuba she'en ha'avnet in shavin. And really what the Torah is doing by splitting up the two is telling us that the belts were not equivalent. Shene'emar b'masa avnet shal kohen gadol ve'es ha'avnet sheish ma'shezar t'cheles va'argamal lamanu shu shal kelayim d'sheish kisna u'tcheles amra. That was very interesting. So remember, just to follow our train of thought, we're just trying to figure, here's what we know we have. We have two different psukim, and one pasuk seems to indicate that Aaron was dressed first, and the other pasuk seems to say that they were dressed at the same time. So the Gemara is just suggesting over here that perhaps that's not what it means. Perhaps what the Torah is actually coming to tell us is that the belt of the Kohen, the reason why it splits it up, it doesn't just say they were all dressed at the same time, is to teach us that the belt of the Kohen Gadol was different than the belt of the regular Kohanim. How so? That the belt of the Kohen Gadol was made of shatnez. It's made of shatnez. Rashi points out over here that the belt was made of tcheles va'argaman. So the Gemara says, sheish and tcheles. Sheish is kisna, which is linen, and tcheles is amro, which is wool. Wool and linen, of course, is shatnez. The avnet habanim lo pirish hakosav mimahayu. The ashmo inan hacha the avneto shal kohen gadol lo zeu avneto shal kohen hedyot. Shezesh shel kilayim v'zesh shel butz. So the Gemara says, you're right, so why is the Torah splitting up the two psukim? To teach us that the belts are not the same. That the belt ultimately of the Kohen Gadol was made of shatnez, whereas the belt of the regular Kohanim was not. So the Gemara goes right through. Uleman do amar Aaron v'achar, top of Vav, three lines down. Uleman do amar Aaron v'achar kach banov. And the opinion says that first Aaron we'll use the verb we coined yesterday, was belted. And then afterwards his sons, I b'hok siv, but the pasuk says, v'chagarta osom avnet, I but the pasuk says, that it says that they were belted together, that really doesn't sound right, right? Meaning that they were all dressed at the same time. So the Gemara says, amr lechu, ha'hu kamashon, what does that teach us? Avnetel shel kohen gadol, zehu avnetel shel kohen hedyot. So I'll say, interesting enough, according to this man, the Amr, the fact that the Torah mentions them together is not to teach you about sequence, but rather what? To teach you about the nature of the begadim. And dafka to teach you that the belt of the Kohen Gadol was in fact like the belt of the Kohen Hedyot. So also what's interesting is, according to this last approach in the Gemara, what's unfolding over here is the following, that both man, the Amrim, could understand that the pasuk is not coming to talk to you about sequence, but rather it's coming to talk to you about the nature and quality of the big day kahuna. Okay, so the Gemara goes weiter. Vayach gar oso avnet, vayach gar osam lamali. So we'll say again, if the Torah already says, vayach gar oso, that literally Moshe Rabbeinu put the belt around Aaron, and the Torah also says that Moshe Rabbeinu put the belt around them, lamali, what does this come to teach us? To which the Gemara says, Shmamino Aaron v'achar kach banov. What does the Torah come to teach us? The Torah is coming to teach us that first Aaron had his belt put on, and then afterwards the sons. So the Gemara says, but let me ask you, So the Gemara goes back. So we'll say this remains as a fundamental machlokes as to how the process of the miluim was conducted. Was Aaron had his belt put on first, or did everybody had the belt put on together? So the Gemara says over here, even if you want to say they were all put on together, what does that mean? Meaning, you know, the idea of bas achas means simultaneous. How is it possible? Remember, Moshe Rabbeinu is the only one dressing everyone. There's no one else that's helping out with this. So if that, again, that's for the miluim. It's for the miluim. Only Moshe Rabbeinu was doing it. So how can you have a bas achas? Meaning, according to that mandamar, everything's done at once. How can you even possibly have that? To which the Gemara says, no. Understand, lo tzricha da'akdin. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Or bas achas mimishkachas lo, shiyehe Moshe levado choger, chamisha b'nei adam ka'achas. How can you even entertain the possibility of simultaneity? How could Moshe Rabbeinu be girding or be dressing five people, meaning Aaron and his four sons at once? To which the Gemara says, no, we're using the word bas achas in a little bit of a different way. Lo tzricha, it's not necessarily da'achdim. Achdim means precedence. What does that mean? Lo zeh, look at Rashi. Lo bebas achas mamish ka'amar. It doesn't literally mean he dressed them all at the same time, for obvious reasons, because that's impossible. Elo zeh achar zeh. Rather, what it means is he dressed them one after the other. Aye, so what does it mean bebas achas? Elo bezeh achar zeh. Aval beseder echad hoyu. But there was a seder. What does that mean? And he did not go ahead and disrupt the order with another beged. What does that mean? Hilbish la'aron kol begadav, v'lo chagar osa avnet. So b'bas achas we mean the following. Moshe Rabbeinu first dressed Aaron in all of his Kohanic vestments, but did not put on the belt, did not put on the avnet. V'achar kach hilbish es bonav, nichnasayim kisones umitznefes. So what does it mean b'bas achas? B'bas achas means the same order is used. So first he dresses Aaron in all of his clothing, but not the avne, not the belt. Then he goes son by son and dresses each of them in all of their clothing, but no belt. The achar kach, notel es ha'evnetin. And then now, after everybody's dressed, then what does he do? He takes the belts, and what does he do? The chagar es Aaron. Then he girds Aaron. The achar kach bonov, and then he puts on the belts by the sons. So we'll say that's what bas achas means. Bas achas means that everything was done in a uniform procedure. First, everybody is dressed in the garments, and then afterwards, everybody is belted. But according to the opinion, it says that first Aaron was fully dressed, and then his sons. Kich savo ha'amor ba'asiya. So Rambam said that would follow pretty much the text as it is written in Parshas Tzav. Vayitein alav es akisones, vayachkor oso ba'avnet, vayabish oso es hamil, vayachar kach vayakrev es b'nei Aaron, vayabikrev es b'nei Aaron, vayabish shem kisones v'yach. So Rambam said again, according to this approach, according to the approach that says Aaron was first, it literally means Aaron was fully dressed, including avnet, and then only afterwards did Moshe Rabbeinu go back and to dress the sons? Rashi ends up. We'll say one thing is clear that everybody agrees with, which is what? Aaron was fully dressed before his sons. That's for sure, because that's the covenant of the Kohen Gadol. The Shaila just is, was he fully dressed, meaning before they even began to dress the sons, or ultimately, was, again, like the first opinion in Rashi, everybody had their basic Kohanic vestments on, and then afterwards, Aaron was the first to have his belt applied, and then everybody else afterwards. So that's the fundamental machlokes that remains. I was like, just you should know, why doesn't the Gemara say, my dahava hava, right? What was, who cares? So remember, like the Gemara said before, because remember, again, we have to understand the psukim. The issue over here is we have psukim that seems, so when, again, my dahava hava is a fine answer when there's not a textual ramification. But if there's a textual ramification of reconciling psukim, Torahi v'lil mod anu tzrichim. We have to know how to understand psukim in Torah. So that's again. So the Gemara ultimately ends off with a machlokes. So the Gemara goes back there. Mafrish kohen gadol. So we'll say now we go back to the Mishnah. So what did the Mishnah say? We 7 days before Yom Kippur, we're mafrish. We separate out the kohen gadol mi beso. And I'm both saying, remember, mi beso will define what that means. Right now, we'll say it means his home. And we go ahead and we put him in the Lishkas Parhedra. We put him in a special chamber in the Beis HaMikdash compound, the Harabayis compound. So the Gemara says, Lama Mafrishin, why do we separate out the Kohen Gadol? Why do we sequester? So the Gemara says, Lama Mafrishin, Kida Aminon. What do you mean, why do we separate him? We already spoke about this. Either Rabbi Yochanan Kidisle, V'Reish Lagish Kidisle. We already spoke about this. There are different opinions as to why we go ahead and separate out the Kohen Gadol. Look at Rashi. either Reb Shimon Lakish Kide Islay Dialof Misinai. So also we just spent two blood on this. Right? According to Rabbi Yochanan, the reason we sequester the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur is why? Because we're not Yom Kippur from Miluim. La'asos l'chaper. We're not from Miluim. Just like by Miluim, there was 7 days of sequestration preparation. So too, before Yom Kippur. And according to Reish Lakish, she doesn't learn that from Miluim. Where does he learn that from? This was yesterday's daf. Where does he learn that from? From Har Sinai. From Har Sinai. So what are you asking me? Why? We already did this. So the Gemara says, no. Hachi ka'amar mi beso lamadesh. But the Gemara is asking is, why do you separate it from his home? Now, both sides, home, the Gemara understands to mean his wife. Why do you have to separate him from his wife for 7 days? I mean, I understand you want to take him to the Beis HaMikdash because sequestration, preparation, you want to prepare him for the Avodah, but why can't his wife come along with him? Look at Rashi also. This is actually quite interesting. The Gemara says, Mi beiso lama pirish, me ishto lama pirish, tavo ishto imo, shahari al karchach lishas parhejan lo haisa kidosha. His wife should be able to come with him. Why? Because it was like, what's going to be your concern? Your concern is, what is a man permitted to sleep with his wife in the Beis HaMikdash compound? Is that meaning? Would that be appropriate? To which the Gemara says, it's clear that the Lishkas Parhej and the Parhejan chamber did not have kedusha. How do we know that? She'en yeshiva ba'azara el lemalchei beis tavid koshkin shchiva. Well, says interesting halacha. If you'll notice, if you'll ever see the diagrams of the Beis HaMikdash, there is one thing that is clearly missing. From the Kodesh. What's clearly missing from the Kodesh? There are no chairs. There are no chairs. Why? Because in Yeshiva Beis HaMikdash, nobody is permitted to sit in the Beis HaMikdash, with one exception, Davidic kings. Not even the Kohen Gadol. Davidic kings are permitted to sit in the Beis HaMikdash. No one else. So the Gemara says, the fact that the Kohen Gadol is living in Lishkas Parhejan, which means he's sleeping there also, must by definition mean what? That it doesn't have Kiddushah as Beis HaMikdash. Because if it had Kiddushah as Beis HaMikdash, not only would he not be able to sleep, he wouldn't even be able to sit there, let alone sleep there. So we already know, and we'll discuss where this is, we already know that Lishkas Parhejan doesn't have Kiddushah as Beis HaMikdash. If that's the case, why can't his wife come with him? Now, I'll show you something interesting. Take a look at Tosas for just a moment, quickly, very quickly. Tosas says, Mi beiso lama pirish, pirish Rashi, tavo ishto imo sham, shraya korchek lishkas parhejan lo haisa kedusha, she'en yishil ba'azara, koshkin shchiva, vikashilon, so those just quotes Rashi, vikashilon, denehi delo kadisha kedushas azara, miko makum keharabayis haisa. So those says, I don't understand, okay, even if you want to say lishkas parhejan, doesn't have kedushas beis hamikdash, it's still harabayis. And now why is that important? I mean, beperek paras chatos, the call harabayis machane leviyahu, ubal keri eno rashe likarnes b'machane leviyah. Now, both I remember, if the Kohen Gadol is living with his wife, then what? Then lemaisa, it's possible they're going to have relations. If they're going to have relations, then what's going to happen? He's going to become a bal keri. I both say a bal keri is not permitted to enter into the Harabayis without, Balkari's man who has similarly mission, is not permitted to enter into the Harabayis ultimately, without going to the mikvah first. The Amar b'Pesachim Perak Elu Dvarim Zov, the Chozov, the Rabbos Balkari, Eliyesh Lefarish Mi Beiso, Lama Piresh, Hava Lan Lameimar, Shepirshu Lemechila Achaz Baharabayis. Seems to me both say, so those points out, it's possible that maybe the Lishkas, maybe the Gemara is suggesting over here is, instead of using the Lishkas Parhedrin, there are other subterranean tunnels on Harabayis. Those tunnels did not have, not only did not have Beis HaMikdash Kedusha, they didn't have Harabayis Kedusha. So why not just go ahead and sequester the Kohen with his wife to the one of the subterranean tunnels, and he could have lived there with her for the 7 days prior to Yom Kippur. And also remember, even if it becomes a Balkari, that's not a problem. Why? Because Balkari is a very easy tumah to rectify. You go to the mikvah. That's it. So the Gemara is just asking, why do you have to separate him from his wife? So the Gemara goes weiter. So the Gemara says, Ela Shema Yavo al Ishto, Vitimsa Safek Nida. Oh, what are we concerned about? What you're really concerned about is that maybe he's going to have relations with his wife, and when she's a Safek Nida. Now, we'll say if she's a Safek Nida, then what? Remember, we're going to see a Nida, a woman who's a Nida, can convey a Tumah to a man who has relations with her. So maybe she's going to be metaming him. And again, remember, as we'll see, we're assuming right now that the Tumah of one who has relations with a Nida is like the Tumah of a Nida herself, which is a 7-day Tumah, which can then mean if he does this during any time during the sequestration process, then what? He's not going to be able to do the Avodah on Yom Kippur. So Mar says, one second. Amruha Rabbanon Kamei Drachista. Excuse me. I lost the place. Atu Berishoi Askinon. So what are you talking about? That the Kohen Gadol is going to have relations with his wife when she's a Suffolk Nida? Right? Rose, say, you're not allowed to have relations with your wife when she's a Suffolk Nida, when there's possibly that she's a Nida. So what are we concerned? That the Kohen Gadol is mamish going to do this? Mar says, no. Ella, Shema Yavo Al Ishto, the Timtsa Suffolk Nida. What are we concerned about? We're concerned not that he's going to have relations with her when she is a Suffolk Nida, but what? He will have relations with her, and then she will become a Suffolk Nida. What does that mean? Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Ela shema yavo al ishto v'acher kach timtza Suffolk Nida, she timtza dam ala sodin shekan chabo, v'ein yadua im bishas bia haya badam, o ze, o la'acher bia, what's the concern? The concern is, and we'll get a little bit more into this afterwards. Let's say a woman after relations checks herself. She wipes herself, and she finds that there's blood, either on the sheet or there's blood ultimately on the item in which she checked herself. That creates a Suffolk Nida situation. Our halacha lemaisa today is different than this particular halacha, because remember, for our purposes today, nida has only one ramification, which is in terms of marital intimacy. But at times of the Beis Hamikdash, nida has major ramifications for tumah and tahara. So again, these ideas of tumah are very. So the Gemara says like this: what are we concerned about? We're concerned about that maybe what's going to happen is the Kohen Gadol is going to be with his wife, and then afterwards she's going to find blood. And there's a suffix that maybe it's nida blood. She's suffix nida. If she's suffix nida, Rabbi Osa, again, in this context, a suffix nida will be a suffix lechumra. Suffix lechumra, again, will be lechumra. Excuse me, a suffix daraisa will be lechumra. And therefore, it turns out that the Kohen Gadol himself is now tamei tumas nida, and that tumah extends for 7 days, which means now he's officially, essentially, been excluded from doing the Avodah on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, Amruha Rabbana Kamei de Rav Chista, Kiman Krabi Akiva. Whose opinion does this reflect? This is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. What does Rabbi Akiva say? Da'amar, nida mitame es bo'ala. Rabbi Akiva holds Rabbi Osai that a nida, a woman who's a nida, conveys tumah to the man with whom she has relations. Di'i rabbana, because according to the rabbis, ha'amri, they say, ein nida mitame es bo'ala. The rabbanon say that a nida does not convey tumah to a man with whom she has relations. Look at Rashi, Rabbi Osai. Last two short lines, and then the wide lines. Rabbi Akiva, command Rabbi Akiva, damar roa dam mitame es bo'ala, limafreya. Rabbi Osai, remember the case over here. The case over here is, the Kohen Gadol is with his wife, and when he's with his wife, there are no issues, right? Meaning there's no indication that she's a nida, that she's even a possible nida. Everything is fine. After relations, now she finds blood. So what's the issue? The issue is, was she a nida at the time of relations or not? That's the fundamental issue. There's the fact, we know now she is a nida, but the shaila, she didn't find it during relations, she found it after relations. So, we'll say, just so you know, as an aside, the halachic discussion of dam machmas bia, which ultimately is blood found after relations, is a very interesting and complex halachic issue. Again, even today. But right now what's happening over here is she's finding it after relations, and the shayla is, do we essentially say, does the halacha say that she must have been a nida during relations as well? And therefore the Kohen Gadol would be tamei as well. So look what the Gemara says. Rashi, excuse me. Rabbi Akiva, damar aroa v'tamei es bo'ala, lemafreya, kol me'is le'is. According to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Osai, his position is that when a woman finds nida blood, what that does is it extends her tumah for a full 24 hours retroactively, meaning we assume blood doesn't just show up. Rabbi Akiva is actually an extensive discussion of a seches nida. We assume that the blood was there for 24 hours beforehand, and therefore, again, if she had relations with her husband during that period, he's tamei. If she touched taros, if she touched against things that are supposed to be ritually pure, she was metamei them. He says, L'mafreya, Opluktayu b'meseches nida, perek kalayad, v'hochi tenan, derech b'nos Yisrael. So once again, so we're not going to go through this whole thing, but the position of Rabbi Akiva is Rabbi Akiva holds that once she finds blood after relations, then l'maisa, again, the tumah extends back 24 hours retroactively, which then means what? That l'maisa, the Kohen Gadol is now tamei. So Gemara is saying that's what we're, so, okay, I'm sorry. According to the Rabbanon do not extend the tumah back retroactively. So we'll qualify their shita as well in just a moment. So therefore, the Gemara is suggesting over here that Lamaisa, the reason we separate the Kohen Gadol, not just from his physical home, but from his wife as well, is to avoid any complications that may arise as a result of marital relations with his wife. But again, the Gemara just pointing out, that's only true according to Rabbi Akiva. Because Rabbi Akiva is the only one who says that if a woman finds dam after relations, that the tumah could be applied retroactively. Amalu Rav Chista, I feel the same Rabbana. Rav Chista says, no, the truth is, even in this case, the Rabbana would agree. Why? Ad kan lo pligi Rabbana alei de Rabbi Akiva, ela ba'acher acher, aval bechad acher module. Rav Chista says, very interesting. When do the rabbis argue on Rabbi Akiva with what the Gemara calls, what the Rav Chista calls Acher Acher? What's Acher Acher? Take a look at Rashi. It's about six lines in from where it gets wide. Last words on the line. Elba Acher Acher, Sheshasa Yoser Me Acher Zman, Shahazman Osyom, Va'acher Ula Acher, excuse me, Va'acher Zman, La'acher Osyom, Bichtoch Shet Kide Shetherit Vitadiach. Now, we'll say here's something interesting. The Gemara Maseches Nida discusses that in order for blood to be attributed to relations, in order to even have this suffix that perhaps again she was in Nida during relations, she has to find the blood within a short amount of time after relations. So the Gemara says if she finds the blood immediately after, within enough time, within the amount of time that it would have taken her to get off the bed and to wipe herself, then that is considered to be, then that could be attributed to blood that was present during relations. But if for argument's sake, after relations, she falls asleep, and she wakes up 2 hours later, and there's blood, and she finds blood afterwards, the Rabbanon would say that's not a problem. So the Rav Chista is clarifying like this. When do the Rabbanon say that lemaisa, blood found after relations, is not a problem? That's when she finds it at some significant amount of time after the act of relations. But even the Rabbanon would agree that if she finds it immediately after relations, then what? Then Lamaisa, we assume that blood was present during relations, in which case her husband would in fact become Tame with Tumas Nida. So all the Gemara is pointing out is that even the Rabbanon would subscribe to this idea that it is important to separate the Kohen Gadol from his wife for the 7 days prior to Yom Kippur, because again, even in their worldview, if she were to find blood immediately after relations, that could be matami him as well. So that's the lashon over here is lo pligi rabbon alei Rabbi Akiva. The rabbis only argue with Rabbi Akiva. Ela ba'acher acher. Acher means much later. Much later, meaning after that amount of time that it would take her to get off the bed and to check herself. But if only one acher, which means again immediately after relations, module, they would agree. Amar Rav Zeira, Shmamina. Boal nida inu kinida v'talubiyom. Now, Boal said, Rabbi Zeira makes a very interesting observation. There's one thing that becomes clear. Even though now we're saying that, in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Akiva and even the Rabbana under certain circumstances, that when a man has relations with a woman who's in nida, that he contracts nida impurity as well. Rabbi Zeira, however, says it's clear from here that a man who has relations with a nida is not treated like a nida, and therefore tova layom, and therefore he immerses by day. Remember, Rav Osai, when a woman is in nida, she only goes to the mikveh at night. There's no tevila bayom. But apparently, a man who contracts nida tuma by having relations with a nida can go to the mikveh by day. Where do we know that from? Di amrit bal nida kinida. I've also listened to this, because if you're going to tell me that a man who has relations with a nida is like a nida and that he can't go to the mikvah until nightfall, then emas tavil balayla. Then when is he going to go to the mikvah at night? Ulamachar hechi aved avoda. How will he do the avoda the next day? V'ha boy her of shem. I've also listened to this. So here's what we know: we're separating the Kohen Gadol seven days before Yom Kippur, which means that it's possible that what happened, maybe the night before he had relations with his wife, the night before he left, he had relations with his wife. Let's say it turns out that she was a nida. Let's say you have this case where right after relations she sees blood. Everybody's going to agree, and for argument purposes, say that she's a nida. Therefore, the Kohen Gadol has tumas nida. And I'm going to say, play this out. If the Kohen Gadol has to wait, if a man who becomes tummy with tumas nida has to wait until nightfall to go to the mikvah, then when's the first time the Kohen Gadol is going to get to go to the mikvah? Okay. Essentially, the night of Yom Kippur. The night of Yom Kippur. And that's going to be problematic. Why? Because Rabbi Osai, again, in order for the Kohen Gadol to be purged of Tumah, what has to happen? He needs Harif Shemesh. He needs a day. He needs the sun to go down. What's going to be the problem? The next time the sun's going to go down is when? Is Matzah Yom Kippur. Which means that essentially he's been effectively precluded from doing the Avodah. So it must be what? It must be that when would he be going to the mikvah? He must go into the mikvah essentially on Erev Yom Kippur during the day. And therefore, lemaisa, again, what that shows us is what? That even though a man who has relations with a nida contracts, we'll call it nida impurity, but he's treated differently than her. That's where she can't go to the mikvah at night, he must be able to go to the mikvah by day. So the Gemara says, well, not so fast. The Gemara says, Elalav Shmamina, Baal Nida, Eino Kenida. Rav Simon Arda, Amar, Afilu Tema, Baal Nida Kenida. Simon Arda says, not necessarily. It could very well be that a man who becomes Tame through relations with the Nida is treated just like her. And namely, both of them can't go to the mikvah until nightfall. I said, well, what do you do about the Kohen Gadol? Listen to this. Dimafrishin Le, Sha'a Achas, Samuch, the Shkia Sachama. The Rebbe said, what do we do? When it says that we go ahead and we separate him on the seventh day, you know what it really means? We separate him a little bit before the seventh day. That whereas the seventh day will start, we'll call it at night, we actually separate him when? About an hour before Shkia. An hour before sunset. And we'll say, what does that do for us? What that does for us is, in the event that he had relations with his wife that day, then what? Then Lamais again, even if she was a Nida, he's going to go to the mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur regardless. So therefore, and during the day. So the Maisa again, what we do is we back up the sequestration period, even just for an hour before Shkia. That way again, we know that he wasn't with his wife at that point in time. Therefore, even if he did become Tamei Tumas Nida from relations to that day, he can still immerse again that, or essentially the night of Erev Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, Meisvei. Gemara raises Akasha. Kol Chayvei Tvilos, Tvilos and Bayom. Anyone who's chayv to go to the mikvah, they can go to the mikvah by day. Meaning, also, what a single viewer is generally, when it comes to tumah, you could immerse in the mikvah by day. Nida v'yoledes, tefilas and balayla, with one exception or two exceptions, a nida and a yoledes. Right? So, a nida is a nida, and yoledes is one who gave birth. So, both those women must do their immersions at night. So the Gemara says, now Abosai, Rashi points out over here, Nida v'yoledes, tefilas and balayla, Nida dichsiv, shivas yamim te benidasa, kol shiva. Also, the Gemara Dashan says, for 7 days, remember, biblical nidos is only 7 days. So for 7 days, the woman will be in nidos. So the Gemara understands there has to be a full 7 days. Naturally, it's not really a full 7 days, because remember, if a woman becomes in nidos in the middle of a day, that's day one also. What it means is the days must be completed fully. So day number 7 must be a complete day, and therefore she doesn't go to the mikveh at night until nighttime. The Yoledes kamei nidos. So remember, and your Torah itself links the Yoledes woman who gave birth to a woman who's a nida. So the Gemara says, what do we infer from here? Nida in, Baal Nida lo. So what we can infer from here is, what does the Braisa say? Who are the only two people who have to go to the mikvah dafka at night and not by day? Is a nida and a yoledes, which means what? That a man who becomes tamei through relations with a nida is permitted to go to the mikvah by day. To which the Gemara says, no. Nida v'chol da'asi meribuye. No. What does it mean, Abosai? It means, when it says nida, it means a nida and anyone who is a derivative of her nidos. So when it says Nida is an umbrella, and it includes her, as well as, again, potentially her husband, if he had relations with her. Meise, raise another kasha. Balkari kimaga sheretz. I will say, a balkari, a man who has a seminal emission, becomes tame, like someone who touched a sheretz. Someone who touched a sheretz, I will say, is a creepy, crawly thing, an insect. Boel Nida kitame meise. A man who has relations with a Nida contracts the same type of toma as if someone who came in contact with a corpse. Because we'll say, essentially what that means is both have a 7 day, well, we'll see what it means. My love, Latvila, does it not mean for immersion purposes? And meaning what? That just like a person who's Tommy Mason could go to the mikvah by day, so to a boil Nida could also go to the mikvah by day? Mara says, lo, Latu Masan. No. What is it? Maybe it means for the duration of their tumah. What the Braisa is saying over here is that the tumah of a Baal Nida is like the tumah of a Tamei Meis, and therefore, again, just like the tumah of a Tamei Meis is 7 days, so the tumah of a Baal Nida is 7 days. The Braisa says, but 1 second. Behejek Sibhu. Why does the Braisa need to teach me that? The Braisa says, that's a mafurish pasuk. It's clear in the Torah. Hai tumah shivak sibbe, v'hai tumah shivak sibbe. It says 7 day tumah by Tamei Meis, and it says 7 day tumah by Baal Nida. Why do I need a braisa to teach me that? To which the Gemara says, no, ela lav l'tvilasan. Rather, going back to our original point, maybe it's coming to teach us what? For tevila purposes, and it's coming to teach us that just like Tumas Meis could go to the mikvah, just like a Tame Meis could go to the mikvah by day, so to somebody who's Tame because of Bali, they could also go to the mikvah by day. The Gemara says, no. Lowly olum tumasan. No, the braisa is actually coming to go ahead and teach us that the tumah of Boel Nida is like the tumah of Tumas Meis. But it's not coming to teach us duration. Because duration we already know from the Pesukim that both are 7 days. So what is it coming to teach me? Seifa Itzrichale, the end of the Braisa, which was not Koran Amud Aleph, is needed. Because what does the Seifa say? Ela Shechamer Mimena. Because we both say, as much again as Boel Nida resembles Tumas Meis. However, again, Boel Nida has a major stringency. What's the major stringency? Boel Nida is more chomer than Tumas Meis. Why? Shemetame Mishkav Umoshav Betumakala Letame Ochlinu Mashkan. Boel says, very interesting. Because a Boel Nida, a man who has relations with a woman who is a Nida, is Metame Mishkav Umoshav. I will say, take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Shemetame Mishkav Umoshav Afilu Eser Matzos Zu Agav Zu Betame Meis Eno Metame Elamagor. Boel says, this is very interesting. This all derives from Tumas Nida. A woman who is a Nida, if she were to sit on, let's say, a pile of cushions, so the tumah would devolve upon every single cushion all the way down, even though what? She's only had contact with the one on top. So remember, again, a man who has relations with a woman who is a nida essentially acquires pretty much her same level of tumah, which means that a boel nida also is able to be metame, what we call through mishkav umoshav. Mishkav umoshav means sitting on top of something while not having direct contact with it. So if I sit on a pile of things, all the things become tummy. And I will say, this is in contradistinction to Tumas Meis, because a person who contracts Tumas Meis is only conveys tumma how? Maga, through actual touch. So it's interesting over here, so as much as Boel Nida is like Tumay Meis in many regards, namely that again, it has a duration of 7 day tumma. It's fundamentally distinct in the nature and power of its tumah. That whereas, again, Tumas Meis only conveys tumah through Maga, so Boel Nida conveys tumah, what Gemara calls, through Mishkav Umoshav B'tumakala. But again, this Mishkav Umoshav only has what's the status of, let's say, these cushions that are underneath the Boel Nida? Not the one that he's directly sitting on, but all the ones underwards. It only has a lesser form of tumah that is able to tame ochlinu mashkin. It's able to convey tumah to food and to drink, but not to Adam and Kalin, not to other people, and not to utensils. So again, it has a weaker form of tumah, but it's tumah nevertheless. So we'll say what the Gemara is answering over here is, the Gemara is just trying to equate Tumas Nida and Boel Nida, Tumas Meis and Boel Nida. The Gemara only brings them together really only to highlight the distinctions. So it says, yes, they have certain common ground, but more dramatically, they have a major distinction in the nature and scope of their tumah. Fine. Says the Gemara, Tashma. The Tani Rabbi Chiya, Hazov v'Hazova v'Hamitzorat v'Hamitzoras. So Rabbi Chiya says the following: Azov and Azova. These are a man and a woman who has these type of emissions. Mitzora Mitzoras, again Tzaras. Boel Nida, a man who has relations with a Nida. V'Tamei Meis, and a person who becomes Tamei through contact with a corpse. In all of these cases, Tvilasim Bayom. So I'll say here you have a Mefurash Rabbis. The Rabbis says that again what? That Lemaisa, they all go to Mikvah by day. Nida, the Yoledes, Tvila Samalaila. However, again, a Nida and a Yoledes, they have Tvila at, they must go to the mikvah tonight. So the Gemara says, Tiyufta. Good one. Right? Tiyufta means you've effectively refuted the other position because you have now an explicit Braisa. Right? And I will say again, it's a stam, well, actually, it's Rabbi Chiya. So you have an explicit Braisa that essentially says what? That a Boel Nida goes to the mikvah by day. And then for the Gemara says, this seems to be a conclusive proof that although a Nida can't go to the mikvah until nightfall, and even though Rabbi said what? Remember, a Boel Nida really is a derivative of her Nida Tumah, but the Maisa, the Braisa says, he can go to the mikvah by day. Fine. Says the Gemara, V'ad sha'atam afisho mitumas beso, hefisho mitumas hameis. So listen now, back to the Kohen Gadol. So now what we've established is the following, that we are the sequestration is not just from his home. See, Rabbi said, one could have easily thought that the whole chap of the sequestration is what? It's sequestration preparation. So if that's the case, then his wife should be able to come with him. Now that we're saying we're separating him from his wife as well, in order to avoid any potential of Tumas Nida, so Gemara says, now that you're being choshesh, that maybe his wife is going to become a Nida in the midst of relations, or right after relations, why aren't you choshesh that what? You should sequester him from people. Why should you sequester him from people? Well, because what's possible? Someone's going to come to say, Shalom Aleichem to the Gemara, what's going to happen? He's going to drop dead. So, meaning, if that's meaning, what the Gemara is saying is the following. No, what the Gemara is asking is, if we'll say again, you have to understand something. If we were really concerned that a woman is going to become a Nida, it means that we shouldn't be able to have relations with our wives, right? Why? Because what that means is that every single time I'm going to have relations with my wife, I have to be choshesh, we shouldn't become a Nida. So obviously, we're not choshesh for that. So, but yet, by the Kohen Gadol over here, what we see over here is a pattern. We begin to be choshesh for things that regular people are not choshesh for under normal circumstances. So Gemara says, okay, if you want to start being choshesh again for the outliers, and also I'll take this a step further also, just understand the Gemara Maseches Nidah discusses that at certain points in history there was a practice that women would do an internal examination before relations in order to ensure that they were not a need at time of relations. We don't do that today for a variety of different reasons. But the point is here that lemaise, again, we're clearly not choshesh. I can't impress enough. If we really were choshesh for this, then a person would never be able to have relations with their wife. So once we're being choshesh for this outlier, for this thing that we're not choshesh under ordinary circumstances, why don't you be choshesh? People do drop dead also. It happens, nebuch. It happens. So maybe we should sequester the Kohen Gadol from everyone in order that he not become tamei tumas meis. So look at Rashi. Now remember, he's got contact with all these different kinds of people. He should be sequestered from human contact. Because maybe somebody's going to drop dead in his presence, and boom, he's tamei tumas meis, and now you're stuck. To which the Gemara says, the Gemara says, what do you see from here? From the fact that we're not choshesh, so Bosai tells you what? That Tumah, going back to our Pesachim days, that Tumah is Hutra B'tzibor. Now, Bosai, I want to show you something fascinating with this. When we learn this concept in Pesachim, we learned it in a totally different way. What did Tumah Hutra B'tzibor in Pesachim mean? It meant that if the majority of the populace were Tumah, 51% of the nation were Tumah, then what? Then you offered up the Karban Pesach even in a state of ritual impurity. There was no Pesach Sheni, everybody does. And we saw Machlokis, says it Hutra Zetchuya. Here it means something different. Look what Rashi says. Hutra Hi B'tzibor, says Rashi. He says, Kidichsev Ish Nidcha, Ve'in Tzibor Nidchin. So we learned that actually from Pesach Sheni. That's what? We learned from Pesach Sheni that an individual is Nidcha, is deferred because of Tumah, but the Tzibor is not Nidcha. Watch this. Ubiyom Kippurim Kule Karban Tzibor. I will say the entire Yom Kippur service is a Tzibor service. Every Karban on Yom Kippur is a Tzibor service. Va'af Karban Shalom. And even those things that are called the Kohen Gadol's private or personal offering, those are also called Karbanos Tzibor. And therefore, Docha es hatuma, sharizmano kavua v'karbano talui bar. I will say, listen to this. The Gemara suggests, okay, let's say somebody does drop dead right in front of the Kohen Gadol. Okay, let's say that happens. It doesn't matter. Why? Because I will say, everything that Kohen Gadol does on Yom Kippur is considered to be a tzibor service. Couple that with the fact that what? That it has to be done by the Kohen Gadol. Therefore, the Gemara says, if it really becomes tamei tumas meis, those laws will be suspended. Why? Because Tumah Hutra B'tzibor. Now, Bossi, understand the novelty of the application of this concept? Everybody else is tar. Who's the only one who's tamei? The Kohen Gadol. But because the Avodah has to be done by him, and because the Avodah is a Tzibor Avodah, the laws of Tumah will be suspended. So why base? So because again, whatever normal precautions we can take, because again, as we're going to see also, you can't really guard someone from full human contact, especially given the fact that part of the reason for the sequestration was the preparation, was to prepare him for the Avoda. See, he had to learn, we saw that in the Brisa before, the Talmidim of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara said before, had to go out and teach him. So the Gemara is saying over here is, even if somebody drops dead, Lemaisa again, Lemaisa, it's okay, because Tumah Hutra B'tzibor. Ravina says, no, Afilu Taima, Ravina Amra, Afilu Teima Tumas Meis Tchuyi Hibitzibor. Tumas, Ravina says, no, that's not the reason. Even if you want to say it's only Nidche, not Hutra, I'll tell you the reason why. Tumas Hameis Lo Shchicha, Tumas Beiso Shchicha. So Ravina gives, I think, what is probably, according to the Gemara, more plausible answer. So Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because the truth is, we're only going to be Choshesh for things that are normal occurrences. It's normal for a woman to see blood after relations. Again, not necessarily a regular occurrence, but it's a normative occurrence. It does happen. So therefore, again, we're going to safeguard ourselves from what we'll call normative or regular occurrences. Therefore, Kohen Gadol, I'm sorry, you can't be with your wife for the next 7 days. People just dropping dead out of nowhere is not a normal occurrence. Again, when we say normal, it happens, but these are not the kinds of events that necessarily happen on a daily basis. So the Gemara, again, I will say, obviously, on a global level, people drop dead every single day, unfortunately. But the Gemara is saying is, in terms of the events for which we must plan for, that is not one of them. So I will say, so Ravina simply seems to say, this is not an issue of Tumah Hutra or Tumah Dechuya. This is an issue about planning for things that are Matsui, that are regular occurrences, and you can't plan for every single occurrence. So again, the plan that somebody's going to drop dead, that we're not worried about. But the plan that his wife may become a Nida after relations, that is saying that is possible, and therefore we must plan for that particular eventuality. So Gemara says, Itmar, Tumas Hames. Now that we mentioned this, we're going to go back and explore this a little bit more. Tumas Hames, Rav Nachman Omer, Dechuyehi. Rav Nachman says, Rav Nachman says, it's Nidche. Now we saw this machlokis earlier, Betzibor. So Nidche, Dechuyehi, Betzibor. Rav Nachman says, what does it mean set aside? What that means is, the laws of Tumah, did I skip? I'm sorry. Rav Nachman Amar Hutri Bitzibor. Rav Sheshes Amar Dechuyehi Bitzibor. So I'll say Machlokis Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes. Rav Nachman says Tuma Hutri Bitzibor, which means I'll say again, in this context, that Lemaisa, even though everybody else is Tahar, the fact that the Kohen Gadol is involved in a Tzibor service, when it comes to the Tzibor, the laws of Tumah are lifted. They don't exist. Hutra means it become Mutter. It's like the laws of Tumah don't exist. Rav Sheshes, on the other hand, says, Dechuya. Dechuya means, we'll say, what? That they're set aside. They still exist, but they're set aside. Now, what does that mean? So the Gemara says, Hecha de'ika temeinu tahorin ba'hu beis av, kuli amalo pligi de tahorin avdi, mitamin lo avdi, temeinu lo avdi. And we'll say, you know where this comes up? This comes up in the following circumstance. Let's say, forget about Yom Kippur for just a moment. It's a regular day in the Beis HaMikdash. Remember, again, there's a particular Beis HaMikdash, a particular Kohanic family that's serving on that day. And what happens? Part of the Beis HaMikdash, part of the Kohanic shift becomes Tameh. Part of them are still Tahorin. Everybody will agree in a circumstance like that, where you have some Kohanim who are Tameh, some Kohanim who are Tahorin, what should you do? The Tahorin should do the service, and what? And what? The Tamehin should not. Ki pligi, when do they argue? La ahadure o la suye tehorin beis avachrina. I will say, listen to this case. Where's the nafkamina case? Again, remember, a beis av, a particular family, serves in a particular day in the beis hamikdash. Let's say now, the entire beis av becomes tamei. The entire beis av becomes tamei. What? During their avoda. You know, on the day they're supposed to serve, they all become tamei. So what's the fundamental machlok? Yes? Do I have to go out and find another beis av? Do I have to go out and find? Now, I will say it's not so difficult to do that, but do I have to find another beis av to do the avoda? So I'll say it depends. Rav Nachman Amar Heter Hu Heter He Excuse Me Heter He Betzibor Velo Mahadrinan. Rav Nachman says no. You know why? Tuma Hutra Betzibor, which means what? Whenever it comes to sacrificial service for the Tzibor, then what? Rav Osei Lemay said there's no Tuma. There's no Tuma. If there's no Tuma, then what? You don't have to go find replacements. These guys are perfectly good. Rav Sheshes Amar Dechuyehi Betzibor. Rav Sheshes says, no, not true. That the laws of Tumah are set aside, which means what, Rabbi Osai? If you don't have an alternative, you could do the Tzibor service in a state of Avodah. But what? But if you have an alternative, then exercise your alternative. Then ultimately, again, go ahead and find another base av, and therefore, again, Dechuyehi Betzibor Umahadrinan. And ultimately, again, we would go ahead and look for another group of Kohanim to do the avoda. All right, the we'll stop over here. We'll stop by the Ikadami. So again, remember, we're not stuck. We are left. Ma'am, I apologize. Nobody's going to be able to concentrate for the rest of the day. I left on this cliffhanger. But fundamental machlok is Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes of Tumah Hutra Betzibor, Tumah Dechuyehi Betzibor. And now again, the novelty over here is the new application of this concept. We've only seen this legabe the Tzibor as a whole. Now we're seeing these concepts as applies to sacrificial service for the Tzibor itself. All right, we'll continue with tomorrow, Mirat Hashem. We'll say in that case a low plug. A low plug.
It'll be more common, an older coin at all, an older wife.
Who says it's an only coin? I'm saying, why would you assume that it's an
old coin? Okay,
yeah,